Accession number 13358, Mr. H. Wilkinson, reel 16.
Mr. H. Wilkinson, reel 16. Did you see much looting of houses by troops, empty French houses particularly, as you moved forward?
Honestly, no. Whether it occurred or what, I don't know. Possibly. But I never saw any. And I never heard any complaints or heard anything from any of the senior NCOs or officers. We were always warned about it. Particularly about leaving civilian people's goods alone in houses and such as that. Of course, there were various items, you know, where there'd been a bombing or a shelling or something like that, where things had been blown to hell out of it, bits and pieces scattered on roads. I know at one time I picked it's way back too, I don't know how it got there. It was possibly some soldier or other had lost it. But there was a tank coming along the road, and I just happened to look. I just timed it rightly to snatch this off the road before the tank came over. And it was a rosary. And it was glass, all linked together by silver links. And at the end was a nice silver crucifix with the Christ on it. And really, not being deeply religious, I just slung it over my head and I wore it. I brought it home. It's still in the house somewhere. Although we're not Catholic, it's still there. Mary won't part with it.
From Amiens, where did you go?
Remembering rightly, I think it was up towards Lille. And I seem to have visions of it being a colliery area. Can't remember a great deal about that, except we were there briefly, and maybe pass on through. But I can't say that we took up residence for any length of time. I think there was a halt. I could be wrong, but as far as I can remember, there was a halt, and then we seemed to move on from there. Between there and Brussels, I can't recall much at all. Being on the move, I can't remember of any distinct battles. I remember we went on into Brussels, where we got a good rousing reception, and we saw mannequin piss as we went past the statue of the little boy watering the plants in the bog below, or the frogs, or whatever might have been in there. I can't recall stopping there. I think we just moved on and out. And I think from there we would be laid back a bit, preparing for an action at Geel, as it turned out.
Where was Geel?
In Belgium. And it was actually the area, so I was told, where the First World War finished. And the Germans had capitulated. I remember not a great deal of it, because I was wounded in the side. On the right side, I remember we'd formed up, and I can't remember that we'd dug in. I think we'd just sort of laid back a bit, flat out somewhere. in the grass and bushes. If memory serves me right. Anyway, I remember being called in. I don't know whether it was with a full section. Well, we're moving up to the vicinity of Gale, and I can't quite recall whether we were just laid back in trees and scrubland, or whether we'd actually dug in here. But I recall being sent on a diversionary expedition. I think there was a sergeant in charge of us, and perhaps a full platoon of us, and an officer. And we went alongside this canal among the trees, and we started firing to make a diversion. And this was on the right. I remember moving to the right to these positions. And all of a sudden there was a retaliatory shot, and the officer was killed. It was said that he was killed, and to me he looked dead, and he was brought back. So whether he had actually been killed instantly or died, as he was unconscious or whatever, I couldn't say, but we returned to our positions. After that, we moved on. We must have got over the canal by bridges or somehow. And I was following my officer down this thin hedgerow. And I think it was very sparse. There wasn't a lot of foliage on it. Mainly looked like sticks with bits of leaves on. I don't know what sort of plant or hedge it was supposed to be. It wasn't thick cover, it was just barely covered, and I felt a little bit safer being behind it. Anyway, he told me to break cover and spread out to the right. And I said, well, we break cover, I think we'll be in the open, we'll be better targets. I said, would it not be better to go forward a bit farther? He said, no, he said, you get through the hedge, take your section with you, which I did do. I hadn't advanced through the hedgerow very far for very long before I received a bullet through the side. It seemed to me that I spun round before I dropped. It was more like a thud or a kick, and it wasn't till later that I got the blood and the pain. Anyway, I tried to continue. The lads, chaps said, hey, you're all right. I said, oh, I think I'll manage a bit further yet. So, as we advanced, we got pinned down. There was a machine gun firing from somewhere, and then rifle fire seemed to be coming from the farther right. So, we were pinned down. And the chaps flattened on the right of me, facing front and side, and I told them to look out for any fire, to see if we could catch this sniper. That seemed to be sniper fire on the right, and machine gun from more or less ahead. Anyway, this one particular chap, he got wounded twice. The bullet seemed to whiz past me and into his shoulder. So, couldn't find any sniper fire. So I tried to just stay by him and cover him. And then I said, look, I said, keep your eyes open. You see anybody coming? I said, fire. But don't move if you're pinned down. I said, I'll try and get back and get some stretcher bearers to come up and get this chap. I said, we can't move him. He's been hit too bad. So I crawled down and I come up underneath the machine guns, our own machine guns, and got over them and into where headquarters were and the sergeant major. He says, "Where the hell have you come from?" He says, "I'm glad to see you." I said, "I'm glad to see you, but I've come for a couple of stretcher bearers." I said, "I've got my section, or what's left of it, pinned down there, and one man pretty badly wounded." I said, "He's been wounded twice, and just before I came away, another bullet hit him." I said, "He was in a sitting position, and I was in a kneeling position. I was going to try and tend to him when this other bullet came in." I said, "So I lowered him down, told my section to keep their eyes open, and come down here for stretcher bearers." He says, "Right." He says, "Come on, chaps." He says, "Follow the corporal up." He says, "You've been wounded." I said, "Yes." I said, "But I thought..." He says, "Can you manage?" He says, "I think I'll get them back up there." So, about halfway between leaving headquarters and up to where my section was, there was a heavy shell coming. You could tell them the way they turned in the air. Anyway, it must have landed about 9 feet or so in front of me. Made a big crater, but hadn't gone off. Just the sheer weight of the shell itself, which we passed going through the crater and on up to the chaps. And I said to the stretcher bearers, "Can you manage?" And I said, "The chaps will probably be able to give you a hand." I said, "I'll try and get back and see if I can get some attention for myself while you do what you can for this laddie." "All right." So I got back and I went on down to a field dressing station. When I got down there, I had a look inside. I thought, bloody hell, it's a butcher's shop. There's no matter with me after I see this lot. So I went outside. I thought, well, I'll wait while things quieten down a bit, because things seem to be that busy and rough in there. Anyway, I was sort of laid on this embankment. And there's some chaps had come up from somewhere on the opposite side of this embankment. It was a bit of a lane, as far as I can remember. And there was I think it was an RSM. He seemed a stranger to me. And he shouts, "Corporal," he says, "take charge of these chaps." I said, "Well," I was going to tell him, like. He says, "Don't argue." He said, "Just take charge of these chaps onto that wagon and you're going down to Echelon." Obeyed the last order. Chaps got on the truck. They hauled me up. Being a short ass. And off we went. Where we landed down at Echelon, and there was these tents. You could see ahead of us, but the lorry stopped short by a couple of hundred yards or so, and the chaps jumped off. And me being the way I was, I sort of tried to climb off and just had to drop the minimum. But I dropped, and I dropped flat. Anyway, where the wagon had veered off to the right and was away around again, seemingly back in the direction we'd come from. And the chaps were hurrying towards these tents, and I was laid, and a chap looked back and he shouted, "Are you all right, Corporal?" I said, "Not exactly." So him and another chap came back and they helped me into a tent. And I just sort of lay there, and they had gone to the other tents. I was on my own there. So I must have been laid into the next day. I remember one of them coming in with a bit of grub and saying, and a drink, saying, "How are you?" I said, "Well, I've been hit in the side." He said, "Yes." I said, "We noticed that as we were bringing you over." But he says, "There seems to be nobody about much." So, continued there the next day. They were looking in now and again, saying I was all right. And The next morning, I could hear a wagon coming, and somebody was shouting for Corporal Wilkinson. And they shouted, "There's a corporal." So I shouted through the tent, "I'm in here." So this driver came in, and he says, "You've got to report to the adjutant." He says, "I wondered where you've been." I said, I was dispatched down here by an RSM. I don't know who it was in charge of these chaps." So I was hauled up onto the wagon and went back to where they were after the battle. Well, I was pretty sore. And my trousers were absolutely soaked. And I had to crawl around by a fence. I reported to the caravan where the adjutant were. And he asked where I'd been. I told him, and he says, "Well, you'd better get over on parade." Well, he hadn't noticed the way I was, just that I was a bit dirty, disheveled, and unshaven. So I went back, and there was a table with the officers, and there was three ranks all lined up in front, and the sergeant major behind. So I limped my way around behind the sergeant major, and there was a bit of chat, and then my name was called. So he started shouting for Corporal Wilkinson. Well, I was behind him and tapped him on the shoulder and said, "I'm here, sir." Well, he says, "Attention, quick march," and we're going up towards the table. Well, he was, but I wasn't. Not at his pace, anyway. It was a slow limp for a few paces. And he happened to look over his shoulder. He says, "Come on, man." I says, "I can't, sir." He said, "What the hell's the matter?" I said, "I'm wounded." So I told him briefly what had happened, and he spoke up to the officers and said, "I'll have to fetch this man forward at his own pace, sir. He says he's been wounded." So I was taken up in front of the officers, and asked me one or two questions. I told them, and I was promoted to sergeant there and then. However, I was in with the sergeants, and they gave me a drink. I was welcome to their mess, as it was, sort of, which was under a wagon and a bottle of spirit. Anyway, I had a drink, and then the next morning I was told to go and see the MO. Well, I went to where the MO was supposed to be, but there was nobody there except, I think it was a corporal. It wasn't our Montgomery, Sergeant Montgomery. It was a corporal, and I can't place him somehow. Montgomery I knew well and known all along. Anyway, he said the MO wasn't available. I think he did say what was happening or where he was, but he wasn't available. He says, "I'll clean you and dress you as best I can and get an ambulance for you." So from there, I was put on this ambulance and dispatched to what had been a big German hospital in Brussels. Great big, immaculately clean, clinical looking place with German names on all the doors. And I was cleaned up there again and dressed. And next thing I knew, I was put with a batch of walking wounded, put on ambulances and taken to the airfield. And we put on this plane I think it was a Liberator, and we were being flown home. Well, we're on this plane and we're flying home, all those walking wounded, fairly excited in spite of what wounds we had. And it seemed to me, if I recall rightly, that we were crossing the Cherbourg area, and we were given to understand it was one of the last ports that the Germans were holding. And when we were crossing, Akak came up at us. It was just like being squirted out of a big hose pipe looking out from the plane, and you could hear it exploding, and felt a few waves. And all of a sudden, the pilot's voice came back, RAF personnel don the parachutes. So we were looking a bit nonplussed. Where's our parachutes? So we were asking the RAF types, where's our parachutes? And back came the answer the pilot had heard is obviously, oh, there's none for you chaps, we're very sorry. So it seemed like we were dispensable anyway. If we made it, we made it. If we didn't, we didn't.
What date would this be?
I should imagine it'd be round about August time, as near as I can say, judging by the seasons. And anyway, we landed at an airfield. I don't know whether it was a scratch airfield or a proper one. One evening, it was a place called Rounton, just outside of Swindon. We were under canvas as we'd got off the plane at this Rounton Hospital, adjacent to the airfield or airstrip or whatever. And the next day we were passed quickly through by a doctor and onto a hospital train. Those that were walking were able to shuffle along, and those that he considered had to be stretched, were stretched. So we filled this hospital train, and then I arrived at New Cross Hospital in Wolverhampton. And there was one ward set aside for us military, and the rest were civvies. So I was in there for quite a while.
How were you received?
Oh, very well. Yes, very well. Very well received. And as we were getting on our feet a bit more, you know, we could really move and get out, the townspeople made us very welcome. I remember that there used to be a theatre group there. Yes, there were these theatres, rep theatres, and as we were able and fit enough to go, we used to go there on the afternoon, and you'd get a cup of tea and a few biscuits and a half a crown and a free show. And many a time when you came out of there, there'd be civvies that finished the work at the factories, had their evenings, and they'd take you to a party somewhere. And very nice. Made very welcome, had a good time.
What uniform did you wear? Was it the wounded uniform?
Yes, blue trousers, blue jacket, white shirt, red tie. You couldn't get away very far. Unless maybe somebody took pity on you if you wanted to go AWOL and give you a change of clothes. Otherwise, you stuck out like a sore thumb.
Was the hospital routine regimented, or was it pretty easy?
No, it wasn't bad at all. Doctors came to see you. I think we got a military doctor, lieutenant colonel or a colonel, once or twice while I was in. In which case you had to lie to attention. But they tried to patch me up and stitch me up and thought everything was all right. until one morning early I woke up and I was absolutely saturated, and so was the bed with blood, and the wound had broken open again. It had gone rotten. The flesh was too rotten to hold it together, so they had to take me down and put me out and thoroughly sterilize it again, clean it up, and put strips across it to hold it together and bandage it well. I was quite a while in that hospital through that.
How the nurses treat you?
Very well. Yes, I took very kindly to us soldiers in there. There's one chap, he was a sergeant next to me. He was in hospital, but he had hemorrhoids very bad. And I suppose that even now the operation isn't very pleasant, but in those early days I think it was worse. He'd been in a week or two before me, and he was there when I left, and I was in a canny few weeks. The wife came down to see me. Of course, you get the usual little postcard you send, and then she came to see me, and she arrived very early in the morning. And I remember the sister waking me up. I must have been in dreamland. She said, "Your wife's here, Sergeant Wilkinson." I said, my wife, which wife? As though I had a harem. I must have been well away, or wishful thinking. Anyway, she'd got lodgings, which eventually turned out they weren't very pleasant. And she was there for a full day, and into the next. Then she had to go home because she was working in the factories, the munition factories at Skinnymiller.
Now, how long were you in this hospital?
Roughly thinking, I think it would be 5 to maybe even 7 weeks.
Did you then go to a convalescent place?
No, I was sent home on convalescent leave.
How long was that?
A fortnight. Yes, a fortnight.
And where did you go from there?
I rejoined Durham's. Rejoined the Durham's at Branspath. I had to report back into Branspath camp itself. I was there overnight. I had an interview with the camp commander the next morning. And he says, "Well, Sergeant," he says, "we don't want the lions among the lambs." He says, "I'm posting you on down the road a few miles near Durham City to the golf course." Yes, I was posted down the road a few miles, as I said, to this golf course, just to the south side of Durham City, maybe a mile to 2 mile. And the original old house that's in there was occupied by an officer and senior ranks, sergeant major and other NCOs, which I joined. And as I was walking up towards the house, there was a chap jumped out with his hand outstretched, and he looked. He says, "Well, I'll have to call you sergeant now." I said, "Well, that's on my sleeve." I says, "You can call me what the hell you like, as far as I'm concerned." I says, "We're not on duty." He says, "Well, sergeant," he says, "pleased to see you." And it was that big chap that got a chunk of stuff in his chest and dumped the pea at mortar. great big well set up chap from Witton Park, Richie. He's like a dog with two tails. So I went on from there into the house, and lo and behold, I believe I mentioned before about a sergeant going on an officer's course, and it was this Sergeant Wilson, called him Tug Wilson, a nice chap, as I've said before, and we were very friendly, and he put his hand out. He says, of all the things, says, welcome aboard.